All right, time to get started. This is my third session already of this short week. This one is on Windows Store Apps, Enterprise Line of Business App Deployment Scenarios. Somehow they've come up with a very long title for what hopefully isn't that long of, or that hard of a topic. In the session today, we want to talk about probably the biggest change in Windows 8 once you get past the start screen and the UI changes. Really, it's the Windows Store apps. That's what's going to affect you most as an IT pro. You need to know how to deploy them. You need to know how they work. So we'll spend some time going through and talking about first what some of the terminology is, and then go through a few different scenarios on how to actually deploy them within an enterprise. No question, they're definitely different than what you've seen with installers of applications in the past. This is different than an MSI. It's different than setup.exe. It's a new way of deploying and installing applications. But really, before we can dig into this, we need to define terms, because to a certain extent, we've kind of made up these terms, and they're not always the most self-explanatory. So it's good to get us on the same page. So first of all, when we're talking about Windows Store apps, that's the term that we've kind of settled on for referring to these Windows 8 apps in general. Windows Store app doesn't necessarily mean that it's an app installed from the Windows Store, which means that, okay, that's not the greatest term in the world, but call it a Windows 8 app, call it a Windows Store app, call it a WinRT app, call it a Metro app. It doesn't really matter what you call it. We're always talking about these new modern immersive UI applications. They run on Windows 8. They run on Windows RT. They're basically the new creation on top of these new operating systems. So that's what we're talking about. These are the applications. They could be written by third parties. They could be written by your own IT developers. Whatever the case is, they will be either deployed from the Windows Store or they'll be deployed through another mechanism. When we're talking about the Windows Store is the online service that offers applications to Windows 8 and Windows RT computers. Any developer can add applications into that store. Once they've been added and approved and certified by Microsoft, they're available for request. When you launch the store app on Windows 8 or on Windows RT, you're connecting to the store and seeing the list of apps that are available. In order to access the Windows Store, you just need to be able to launch the app that's on Windows 8 or on Windows RT. You don't need to specify an account until you want to install something. If you want to install an application from the Windows Store, then you need to specify a Microsoft account. So, what is a Microsoft account? It's basically the new name for what used to be called a Live ID. So, anytime you hear us talking about Microsoft accounts, we're not talking about our own internal Microsoft accounts, which we get thoroughly confused about internally. We're talking about what used to be called a Live ID. You use that to log into the Windows Store. You use that to license the applications that are going to be installed. So we've got Microsoft accounts, Windows Store apps. When we start talking about deploying apps through other means, we need to get installation files for those applications. The installation files for a Windows Store app is an appx file. It's called an appx file because that's the extension on the file. If you look at the file names, they'll be whatever .appx. These files are effectively zip files containing all the pieces needed for this application. Executables, DLLs, bitmaps, XML files, any type of data that the application requires. It's all bundled up into this appx container with an XML file that describes what this application is. So when it comes to installing one of these new Windows Store apps on Windows, all Windows really has to do is extract the contents of this zip file into a folder on the hard drive, read the XML manifest file that it extracted. That tells it about the application. That app gets registered with the OS, and it's ready to run. So install really is extract from zip, register with the OS, and go. Very fast, no code that's executing except for Windows itself extracting the contents of the AppX file and registering the app with the OS. So it's not like an MSI. You don't have custom actions. You don't have your own custom UIs that go along with this. Really, you don't have any UI at all that goes along with this installation process. There are various ways to trigger this installation process. We're going to look at each of those as we go through the session today. But that's really what's happening. It's taking an AppX file, extracting the contents, registering it with the operating system. These apps can have dependencies. So an app can have other apps that it uses. It's kind of like runtime components, if you want to think of them that way. Things like a JavaScript engine or Microsoft Common Controls will ship as separate AppX files. So an app can declare that it has dependencies on other apps. And as a result, they all have to be installed on the machine before the application can run. When we're talking about installing the apps, whether it's via PowerShell, Configuration Manager, Intune, or whatever, they need to make sure that they can handle those dependencies as well. And generally, they can detect the presence of those dependencies and handle those details for you. When we talk about sideloading, then, what we're talking about is installing a Windows Store app from any place other than the Windows Store. When you install it from the Windows Store, everything's fine, easy, good, no problem. When you're talking about sideloading, it's about going around the Windows Store and deploying them using some other software distribution mechanism. That can be Intune, Configuration Manager. Those make it easy because they provide the built-in support for doing that. Or that could just be your own custom PowerShell scripts. All of the functionality required to install a Windows Store app on Windows 8 or on Windows RT is exposed through PowerShell commandlets. So we'll look at those PowerShell commandlets just so that we get an understanding of the nuts and bolts of how you would do this by hand. And we'll also look at the other tools to see how you would do that using those. In order to enable sideloading, there are some specific requirements. We'll look at those in more detail as well. But basically, sideloading is not enabled by default on Windows 8 or on Windows RT. It needs to be enabled. The enablement is automatic for something like Windows 8 Enterprise. But for the other operating systems, other SKUs, there is additional work that needs to be done. Line of business apps, then, really we're just throwing another term at it. A line of business app would be an application that you've created yourself that you're looking to deploy within your enterprise. By definition, well, maybe by definition, you don't want to put these apps into the public Windows Store. The public Windows Store doesn't provide any mechanisms to filter those applications to just your employees. The Windows Store, once you add an app to it, is going to show that app to everybody. So you're going to take these line of business apps in most cases and try to deploy them internally using the sideloading process rather than using the Windows Store. So that's where we get into this whole scenario. How do we deploy line of business apps within your enterprise environment? That's what we'll focus on. To get to that point, though, we need to get a little deeper into understanding the way this whole process works. When we talk about installation of Windows Store apps, what we're talking about is making them available for a user. The installation process for Windows Store apps is a per-user operation. If I log on to a computer, go to the Windows Store, and install an application, and then switch to a different user on the machine, that app won't be installed for the other user on the machine. The other user would have to go to the store themselves, log on with their own Microsoft account, and install the application again in order to get it onto their account. So all of these install operations are per user. They don't require any administrator rights. So any low rights user can do this. You can put restrictions in place via group policy to, say, turn off the store. But once the machine has been enabled for sideloading, any user, regardless of the rights that they have, is able to sideload applications. The apps can be installed from the Windows Store. Obviously, you go out to the store, you request them, they install. They can also be installed via sideloading, which is what we would typically do via Config Manager or Intune. Now, the other scenario then is provisioning. And provisioning is more of a one of those convenience features. So think about Windows 8 when you first install it. When you install it and log on for the first time, you see a set of pre-installed applications. There's about, I think, about a dozen of them that get installed. Those are actually provisioned into the operating system. Provisioning means registering it on the computer so that it installs automatically for each user on the computer the first time they log on. So how many of you are using Windows 8? You've noticed probably the first time you log on, it displays a kind of an animation that shows you how to use Windows 8. And it annoys people because if you're deploying operating systems especially, you tend to see that over and over and over again. So there's a policy that you can use to turn that off. Well, okay, you turn that off via the policy, but does it make that first log on any faster? No, it doesn't. It's still going to take as much time, but instead of seeing the animation, now you're going to see a colored pulsing screen where it says preparing your computer for first log on and installing applications. It displays a series of messages to tell you what it's doing, but the reality of it is it's installing those provisioned apps. So those dozen or so provisioned applications that are in Windows 8 at first log on have to be installed for the current user. For every user that logs on, that same process happens. So provisioning is more like a staging process. We can stage the app onto the operating system, register it with the operating system, and have the OS automatically do the installs when the user logs on. So provisioning then, kind of by its definition, is a sideloading operation. You need to have the install files for the app. You can't provision an app from the store. You have to be able to get the install files, run the PowerShell commands to make those apps registered to the operating system for provisioning. That is because it's a computer-wide process. That does require administrator rights. Provisioning, though, is really something that's done either by an OEM. So if you buy a new Windows 8 PC, you'll see that there are going to be apps that are already provisioned on the machine, not just the ones that are built into Windows 8, but also third-party apps that the OEMs preload. So that's one scenario, but for enterprises, you would generally do this provisioning as part of your golden image creation process. So you create your own custom Windows 8 image that you're going to deploy within your enterprise. You would provision in that image any apps that you wanted to put on every user, every computer in your enterprise. There is a limit, though, to the number of apps that you can provision, so don't think that you can put hundreds of these into an operating system image. You can put up to 24 of them. You can provision up to 24 additional applications over and above what's provided in Windows by default. That provisioning process generally would be done as part of your image creation, which is why MDT provides provisioning support. We'll look at how MDT does that and how to set up an app in MDT to provision it into your operating system image. So in a lot of cases, what you would do then is you would use MDT to provision the app. You would lay out the start screen the way you wanted it. You can arrange the icons and when you sysprep the OS, then, those provisioned applications are preserved. The start screen layout is preserved. So then when you deploy the OS, everyone gets the apps, everyone gets the layout that you had configured. Now, when we're talking installation, again, is a per-user operation. Per-user operations don't make sense, really, as part of an operating system deployment. So if you were to look at a task sequence that Configuration Manager was running, as an example, the Configuration Manager task sequence runs as local system. If Configuration Manager would install an application as local system, it wouldn't do any good because local system can never log on and run it. So you'll never see an install Windows Store app step in a Config Manager task sequence. You could provision an app as part of a task sequence, but there's nothing built into Config Manager to do that. Config Manager really wants to focus on the user side of this to be able to provide an enterprise app store. That enterprise app store, in the case of Config Manager, is provided through the app catalog, the web page that you may have already seen. In the case of Windows Intune, it's provided through a company portal app. We'll take a look at each of those as we're going through. So then when we talk about requirements for sideloading, in order to enable sideloading, you need to be running Windows 8 Enterprise joined to an Active Directory domain, or you can install a separate sideload product key. Windows 8 Enterprise comes with software assurance, so it's a software assurance benefit. Software assurance provides that sideload product key for free. So as long as you have software assurance running either Windows 8 Enterprise or using that sideload product key, you're good. You're set to go from there. If you don't have software assurance, then you would need to acquire that sideload product key. It's sold in 100 packs. So basically, one key can be used on 100 different computers to enable the computer to allow sideloading of applications. So 100 activations basically takes care of 100 computers, and you can then sideload as many apps as you want. Those sideload product keys, the price of those varies based on the volume and the type of agreement that you have in place, but the starting point for pricing on that is about $30 per key. Since they're sold in 100 packs, that means $3,000 for 100 pack. But the prices will go down from there based on the volumes. So if you've got software assurance, you're all covered. If you don't have software assurance and you want to do sideloading, then you have to worry about acquiring the sideload product keys in order to do this. On Windows 8 Pro and Windows RT, you'll always have to install a sideload product key in order to enable sideloading. On Windows 8 Enterprise, the only time you would need to do it is if you don't have it joined to Active Directory. If it's in a work group, sideload product key is required. In a domain, it's not. So that's the first requirement. You have to enable sideloading either by having Windows 8 Enterprise domain joined or sideload product key installed and activated. These keys install and activate like a Mac key. So if you're familiar with Windows 7 and Windows 8 volume activation, the key has to be installed and activated over the internet to Microsoft. Even if your computer was activated using KMS, this sideload key gets installed on top of that. So the sideload key isn't used to activate the operating system. The sideload key is just used to enable this capability in the OS. So you can have multiple keys installed on a single operating system to enable this capability. So let's look at this the hard way. We'll start from the manual approach and try to build our way up from there. If we were to do this manually, we talked about PowerShell as being the mechanism for doing that. So we'll start off with PowerShell. If I can remember which port I was connected to. That looks promising. Let me switch over to a client computer. Oops, I missed. So Windows 8 Enterprise install. And it's not joined to Active Directory at this point, but for what I'm going to do, it really doesn't matter. The restrictions on sideloading really don't prevent me from doing these sideload installs or the sideload provisioning. It just won't run until sideloading has been enabled. So I can install and remove and do as much tweaking as I want. It's just those apps won't actually work until I've enabled sideloading on the machine. In this case, what we're really more interested in is the process, so that doesn't matter so much. So the first thing I would want to do is bring up PowerShell. So I've already brought up an elevated PowerShell session. This elevated PowerShell session is where I can do things like get appx provision package. And because I want it for the currently running operating system, I need to specify dash online as a parameter. So give me all of the provisioned packages that are currently in the running OS. You could also do this for a mounted operating system image. So if you have your own Windows 8 WIM, you could mount it and run these same PowerShell commands against an offline image. So unlike MSIs or setup.exes, these can be installed and provisioned offline. So you don't even have to have the operating system up and running to do this. It's just easier to see what's going on when you're doing it this way. So we have a list of apps. And what we could do from there is, well, maybe we look at our corporate image and we say, we don't really want Zoom Video, or we don't want Bing, or we don't want sports, or we don't want games. We want to remove those from our corporate image. Just like there's a get AppX provision package, there's also a remove AppX provision package. So I can do remove AppX provision package, again, specifying online, and remove all of the inbox apps from the list of provisioned applications. So this then becomes kind of the first test of how well you were following along with what I was talking about before. So this command will remove all of the provisioned applications, except for a few of them. We'll talk about those few in a minute. What do you think the start screen will look like now that I've removed all of the provisioned applications? Let's find out. I bring up the start screen, doesn't look any different than it did before. So the apps are no longer provisioned in this operating system. But because they were when this user logged on, they had already installed. So they're still installed for the current user. If another user were to log on to this system, their start screen would be looking pretty empty at this point because they would only get three icons. They would get an icon for Internet Explorer. They would get an icon for the desktop. And I'm drawing a blank on the third one. Oh, the Windows Store itself. You can't remove the Windows Store. You can disable it via policy, but you can't remove it. So the first step is to deprovision them. Once they've been deprovisioned, then we can actually just remove them. So I can do remove AppX package. It's first get AppX package, remove AppX package. So we'll go ahead and remove all of the apps from the currently logged on user. You'll see a few errors go by. There are a few reasons for those errors. One is because I'm trying to remove the dependent applications before the app that it's dependent, or whatever the term is. Basically, the dependencies aren't being removed in the right order. So that's one cause of the error. The other one is that you can't remove the Windows Store. You can't remove Internet Explorer. The third one that you can't remove is the PC settings application, the modern control panel. Like if on Windows, if you were to go to the charm bar, click on settings, and then click on change PC settings, that launches a Windows Store app to configure Windows. If you were to remove that, you wouldn't be able to configure Windows. So we don't let you remove that one, we don't let you remove the store, and you can't remove the Internet Explorer app. But otherwise, everything's been removed. Now, you can see that there's more stuff on my start screen here. If I had left the start screen at the default configuration, I'd actually tweaked it earlier, you would have just seen these three icons. All of these are administrative tools, which are mostly, in fact, they're all desktop applications. I turned that on before because I wanted to get to the PowerShell IDE, but there is a setting on the start screen itself to show those. It's off by default. If you turn it on, all of those tools show up. So if I change that back to no, I believe they should all now disappear. So after we've removed all the provisioned apps, after we've removed all the installed apps that we can, we're left with the start screen that's pretty bare. So that's interesting enough. now let's see if we can provision a new one. So add appx provisioned package. We need to specify the package path. So I have the file on my server. Let's see, is that the right path? See what we're connected to. Always helps to be on the right network. There we go. Demo apps, rounds, and then the name of the appx file, which is rounds underscore 1.0.0.32 necpudebug.appx. That's a typical name generated by Visual Studio. Most of these are written using Visual Studio, so that's the type of file name you end up with. Then I also need to specify the dependencies, if there are any. And there is one, Microsoft.winjs 1.0.appx. Again, I had to specify online because I want to do it to the current OS. And let's just try that and see what results we get. There is one other switch that we will probably need to specify, but we'll get some other errors before we get there. So first it says a license file path was not specified. A license must be specified when installing app packages. Well, so far we haven't found any examples of license files, so you will always need to specify skip license on the command line. So it will install this application, or provision the application in this case, without a license. But in order to do that, you have to enable allow all trusted apps policy, which that in itself is a simple registry change, which generally you would push out as a group policy. In this case, because my computer is not joined to Active Directory, it's easy enough to just import this into the registry directly. All you had to do is set allow all trusted apps to 1, and then we get past that particular issue. So regedit, import that, and try the command again. So that should install the application. That should install the dependencies as long as the other requirements have been satisfied. The other requirements are primarily related to the certificates used to install those or to build those applications. Windows wants to verify those certificates to make sure that this app is actually trusted by Windows. In this case, it's trusted because the certificate in question has already been supported by the operating system, already been imported into the trusted root store. But if that hadn't been done, there could be a need to import another trusted root certificate. So you'll see when we get into the documentation around the requirements for doing this, it'll always talk about installing a sideload product key, if required, enabling sideloading by setting that allow all trusted apps policy, and then importing 0 or more trusted root certificates in order to make sure that the certificate used to sign these apps is trusted by the machine. Okay, so now I have the application provisioned. If I look at the computer, will I see it on the start screen? No, because I was already logged on when I provisioned this particular application. There are various events that will cause it to install that again. I could log out and log back in again. I think I can also lock the machine and unlock it. Let me see if that works. Lock the computer, unlock it, and there are asynchronous processes that run. So if it works, the application will pop up. Otherwise, we can install the application ourselves, or we could log out and log back in again to get the application to show up. So it doesn't look like the lock's going to do it. So let me go ahead and sign out. Log back in again. And we'll see if our application actually pops up here. There it is. Now, if you look at it, though, you can see there's a little X on it. So if we were to click on this application, it's not going to run. It's saying that there's a problem with rounds. Contact your system administrator about repairing or reinstalling it. So sideloading hasn't actually been enabled because this computer isn't joined to Active Directory. So as a result, these applications can't run. Even if we got past this error by enabling sideloading or installing a sideload product key, which we can do using slmgr.bbs, we would still get an error because modern apps won't run logged on as the local administrator account. It's another restriction on Windows 8, so you would have to log in as a different account and run the app from there. But the app's provisioned, it'll now show up for every user that logs in automatically just by the fact that we have provisioned it. So let's try one other thing here. Let's bring up an elevated command prompt. And let's go through one other scenario. So let's say you're going to create your own custom image. You want the custom image to have the latest versions of the built-in applications. So you go out, you stop the process, you go out to the Windows Store, you install the latest apps, and then try to run sysprep. Well, sysprep's going to fail with an error telling you that there are apps installed on this system that weren't provisioned. That won't work. So in order to prevent that, sysprep has a check in it that makes sure that doesn't happen. So if we go ahead into the sysprep folder, we can run sysprep.exe, choose to do out-of-box experience, generalize, and quit, because we don't want it to reboot. Oh, now it's saying that there are pending Windows updates. If we restarted, well, let's just do that real quick. If we restart and then try to do that again, we'll get a different error. It's the joys of running demos on Patch Tuesday. The machines patch themselves at random times, and then they won't do what you want them to do. So we'll go ahead and restart it. As soon as it comes back up again, log back in and run sysprep again, just so that we can see it fail in a different way. The other failure will be triggered by the fact that there are apps installed that aren't provisioned. But if you think about that, what apps are installed that aren't provisioned on this particular system? We've removed all the provisioned apps from the local administrator account. We removed all the installed apps from the local administrator account. We provisioned a new app for the local administrator account and then saw it install. So what is installed but not provisioned? Well, I have another user on this system. There was another user that I logged on with that installed all of the built-in applications earlier. So as a result, all of those apps are installed still for that other user. So in order for sysprep to succeed, I would need to log on as that other user and remove them all from that user as well. But basically, we just wanted to show that the same thing would happen if you tried to trick it, if you tried to install the latest apps from the Windows Store by clicking on the store icon, going out to the internet, downloading all 15 updates that you would see the first time. If you did that, sysprep would fail because now you have different applications installed than are provisioned on the system. The version numbers have to match exactly. So let me bring up that command prompt again. to sysprep, generalize, quit, OK. So it will go through, and as part of its cleanup process, it will detect that these applications are there. It will generate an error, display a message saying that sysprep failed. And then we need to figure out, well, why did it fail? So while it's thinking about that, let's find the sysprep logs. And hopefully this won't take too long to fail. So that points out one of the challenges. Well, it will once it fails. Let's say you wanted to ship your Windows 8 image with the latest version of the Mail app, or the Bing app, or the Sports app, or any of the other built-in Windows 8 apps. If you wanted to do that, you would need to provision a new version of it. What's required to provision it? The AppX files. So, okay, you'd have to go back to Microsoft and say, Microsoft, would you please provide us the AppX files for these built-in applications, the latest versions of them, so that we can update our image? Sorry, the answer would be no. We don't have a process in place today to provide those AppX files to customers in order for you to update the image with the latest versions. So as a result, when you deploy the image, each user, when they log on, is initially going to see those 15 application updates. They'll have to launch the store and install those updates. Now, to install updates, you actually don't need to log in with a Microsoft account, so at least they don't need a Microsoft account to do that. But they do need to go out to the store, pull the apps down from the internet, and install for each user on the machine. So sysprep has failed. We'll click OK, and now let's see if it gives us a simple, easy-to-understand error message. So the first line says, package Microsoft Bing Finance was installed for a user but not provisioned for all users. This package will not function properly in the sysprep image. Next line, failed to remove all apps. And basically that causes sysprep to fail. So the only way you can include apps in a Windows 8 image is if they're provisioned, and they can be installed for a user on the system, but it has to be the exact same version as what was provisioned. And well, they're never going to run for that installed user anyway, because sysprep's going to remove that user profile and uninstall any apps that were present in the default in the administrator account that becomes the default profile. So don't try to go to the store during your image creation process. So if we wanted sysprep to succeed, we could change over to that other user, uninstall the apps, and then switch over and run it again. But unfortunately, the point at which sysprep fails completely destroyed this operating system. So all you can really do at this point is throw it away and start from scratch. Fortunately, I have some virtual machine snapshots, so I can roll it back to a state where it's actually functional again. But once sysprep fails in this case, you're done. Start over. So those are the manual operations. I mean, there are other AppX-related commandlets, but they basically do the traditional get, add, and remove operations, either to install per user or to provision for the machine. You could run those commands from a startup script. You could run those commands using any third-party software distribution tool that you want. You just need to make sure that they run in the appropriate context. In the case of installation, they need to run in the user's context because you want to install the apps for the user. In the case of provisioning, they have to run in this an elevated context, so they need to run with administrative rights. Generally, those conditions can be met by any software distribution tool out there that's able to run PowerShell scripts, because these are going to be PowerShell commands. So that's the manual approach, kind of the hard way, that you would go through, you would use those PowerShell commands. You do need to make sure that the prerequisites are met by enabling that allow all trusted apps policy, importing any trusted root certificates that might be needed, sometimes they'll be needed, other times they won't. It just depends on the specific cert used with that app. And then you need to enable sideloading for the operating system, either by joining Windows 8 Enterprise to the domain or installing a sideload product key. PowerShell does all the work to do the installations, to do the removals. You can write one line, like I did there, to remove all the inbox apps if you don't want them to be present in your image. If you wanted to be a little more selective about it, you would need to identify the specific app that you wanted to remove and then add just the specific remove appx provision package command to get rid of just the one. There are some dism commands using dism.exe that do the exact same thing. Personally, I prefer the PowerShell commands because they're easier to autocomplete so that you don't need to figure out what all the command line switches are. But for provisioning especially, the dism.exe commands are just as good. In the case of MDT, when MDT adds an app into a task sequence to provision it into an image, it always uses dism.exe. It was simpler. So now let's shift gears and let's look at it from the perspective of Configuration Manager. How would you do the same type of operations with Configuration Manager? So let's switch over and look at my Configuration Manager environment. And bring up my Configuration Manager machine here. So in Configuration Manager 2012, SP1, we have the new ability to deploy Windows Store apps. So when we create a new application, we can specify a couple of new types. We can specify a Windows app package in the Windows Store, which is more or less like a hyperlink. We call it a deep link to launch the Windows Store and navigate to that particular application. So the user just needs to click the install button. So it's just a convenient way to get them to the application that they want to install. But they will still need to specify a Microsoft account. They will still need to click the install button because it's clicking the install button that accepts the license terms that are associated with that particular app. So you can do that. That is a little tricky because with Configuration Manager, in order to do that, you need to point it at another Windows 8 machine that has the application installed. It will extract the URL, the deep link for that app from the other computer. It uses WinRM to do that, so you need to make sure that WinRM has been configured on the computer that you're connecting to get this list. I don't think I actually have another computer configured right now to do that, but that's easy enough to run WinRM quick config. Once that's been done on the other computer, you can then browse to that other computer. It'll give you the list of applications. You select one, it adds the link. What you would want to do, though, for sideloading for these enterprise app store scenarios is add an appx package, or add a Windows app package deployment type. And for that, we just need to browse to that same location for the app that we installed manually. Browse to demo apps. Rounds is my sample here. We'll select the appx file. We really don't need to specify much else because Configuration Manager can read all the necessary metadata about that application from the appx file itself. So it knows the name of the app, the manufacturer of the app, the version, the language, all of the different details can be pulled out of that manifest. So no more questions asked. All we have to do is confirm the different settings. Maybe we don't want it to have a manufacturer of HUMAD or whatever that is. We'll just call it demo or something like that. And now it's created. So we now have the source files in Configuration Manager. Configuration Manager natively knows how to do the installation. It knows the PowerShell or the API equivalents to those PowerShell commands to install this particular application. So all we really need to do then is create a deployment. So if we say we want to deploy it, we need to choose who we want to deploy it to. Remember, we're doing installation. Configuration Manager provides support for installation. Installation is done per user. As a result, you need to target users. So when I click to browse, the collections that I'm going to see are user collections. I'll select all users. I need to distribute the content to a distribution point, so I can choose my DP. I want to install it, and I could either push it as a required app, or I could make it available for users to install by going through the app catalog, through the Enterprise App Store that Configuration Manager provides to allow users to request and install this application. So I'll just make it available. Doesn't require administrative approval in this case. And I can take the rest of the defaults through this. And now I have the application deployed. If I then switch over to a Windows 8 computer, to actually see what applications are available to me, what I would typically do is launch Software Center. And from there, click the link to launch the application catalog. Because I'm too lazy to type in the URL, and maybe I don't even know what that URL is anyway, but there's a nice hyperlink here where I can click to find additional applications from the application catalog. When I click on that, it launches the app catalog webpage. From there, I can see the new Rounds app that we just added, and I can click Install. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Please do that. Give it a couple of minutes here to start off the process, but basically, the process will kick off while we're sitting here, and hopefully the application won't take very long to install at all. If we want to follow it along, we can actually switch back over to the Software Center, and we can see the install. All right, now it's saying the software installation failed. You can try the installation again. So this goes back to kind of those requirements that we talked about before. We need to be able to make sure that we have met the requirements for this particular application. And you'll get to a point where you actually look at those error numbers and think, oh, I actually know what that one means. I believe that one actually means that the certificate used by this application isn't trusted on this computer. Okay, well, typically, you would use a certificate that was issued by your own internal certificate authority that was already trusted by your own computers. In this case, I used an app that came from somewhere else that used a different cert. So I need to make sure that cert's been added to the machine. Configuration Manager won't do that for you because it doesn't really know what certificates required for this application, but there's no reason you couldn't use either Group Policy or Configuration Manager Software Distribution to push out that particular certificate. In this case, I'm just going to do it by hand. There's the certificate that was used. It was actually one generated by Visual Studio. I can say that I want to install it to the local machine. And I will place it explicitly in the Trusted Root Certification Authorities container. And then I can try it again. And we'll see if it succeeds this time. So behind the scenes, Configuration Manager is issuing the same commands like we issued manually when we were running PowerShell to see if the application will install successfully. When it gets an error back, it reports that error back to us. This time it succeeded. So that was all we needed to do to get that app to install. So sideloading was already taken care of because this particular machine was in Active Directory. All we needed to take care of was the cert in this case. So the app's installed. If I go back to the Start menu, I should be able to see it over here on the right. I can launch it, and the application runs just fine. So that's the basic process that you would go through with Configuration Manager. So the things to remember then with Configuration Manager is that Windows Store apps are installing per user. Configuration Manager provides this support to do the deployments per user. It doesn't provide anything in the task sequence to do provisioning of apps. So you're not going to see a provision Windows Store app step in a task sequence. You could build one yourself. You could just run the PowerShell commands like we were running manually. But Configuration Manager really wants to encourage you more into this user-driven scenario where the user can use the software catalog to request the apps themselves rather than trying to provision them into the operating system. If you wanted to provision them into the OS, you can certainly do that, but the idea would be to try to use the app catalog to enable self-service wherever you can. You can use deep links. You just will still need to log in with a Microsoft account and click install. This is requiring Configuration Manager 2012 SP1. There's nothing really preventing you from doing the equivalent in Configuration Manager 2007 with the necessary hotfixes to support Windows 8, but now you'd be back to doing the PowerShell commands on your own. So you could install applications using the older version of Config Manager, but you will have to build your own custom software distribution packages to do that. So next up then, how do you do the same thing with Intune? Well, very similar to what we've already looked at. With Intune, we just need to add the applications into our Intune account. So if we look at Intune, which always times out while we're talking about other stuff, let me log back in here again. Intune actually can capture inventory, just like Configuration Manager, of all the apps that are installed on the system, so we can see what's currently present on the machines in my environment. But in order to create a new one, step one, add the software. Step two, deploy the software. So basically, we'll click on Add Software, which will run an application, a wizard, where first we need to log in. And then we can choose to specify the details for that application, just like we did with Configuration Manager. We can specify that we want an external link and specify a URL. This could be a URL that points into the Windows Store that would do the same type of deep linking that we talked about before. Or you could specify a software installer and then choose a Windows app package, the appx file. We can browse to the same location that we were using before. Source, demo apps, rounds. Specify the appx file. Now in this case, Windows Intune doesn't read the details out of the metadata. It actually just uses the name of the file as the name of the app. So we do need to type in a little bit more here, but not a big deal overall. We can type in publisher of demo, name of rounds, and then whatever description we want. We could specify a custom image if we want. I don't think I have one convenient here. We can specify what category we want it to be in. Call it a business app. And then we need to upload it into the cloud. So it will take that appx file and all the dependencies that it can detect that were there with it. It'll bundle them all up, encrypt them, and upload them into the Windows Intune Azure storage. From there, then any client machine can request and install them. So we'll wait for this to finish and then switch over to a Windows Intune client machine and see if we can request that. Well, after we do one more step. So we've uploaded it, but we haven't yet deployed it. So the next step would be to go to the managed software, find the Rounds app, and deploy it. In this case, we'll deploy it to users again. So Intune has a list of all the users that are in your Active Directory. You can choose which user should get it. I'll just use the All Users group in this case because I really don't have too many users in this particular environment. I can only make it available for install. The other options are grayed out because they're not available in this particular scenario. Deadlines don't really matter in this case. We'll click on Finish, and now the application has been deployed. Deploying it makes it available to the client machine, so when we switch over to the client, this client machine has already been provisioned as an Intune client. And the company portal app has already been installed. So normally you would go into the web page for Windows Intune. Well, now with the Windows 8 machine, the web page will tell you, oh, there's a company portal app in the Windows Store. Would you like to install that? Yes. So I've installed that company portal app on the computer, which gives me the nice modern UI interface to show me all the applications that have been made available to me. I haven't configured single sign-on for my Intune account, so I may need to actually log in here with my account and password. And once I do that, I should be able to see the apps that are available to me. Okay, so I have two applications here. The dynamic CRM one, which I had in there before, and this Rounds demo app, which I had set up before, where I had typed in the description, this is my MMS app. I can click on the install button, and it will kick off the installation in the background, where we can just watch as the install happens. If I've met all the other requirements that we've talked about a few times now, it'll install successfully, and I'll be able to run it. But in order to do that, I had to have the machine enabled for sideloading, I have to deploy the necessary certificates, and I need to set the Allow All Trusted Apps policy. Once all three of those prerequisites are taken care of, then the app should install successfully and be available for us to run. So we'll give it a moment here to see if that works. See if we can launch the app. So we've talked about the manual approach using PowerShell. You can do that with any software distribution tool that you want. We've talked about using Configuration Manager as an enterprise app store, which uses the app catalog web page. We've looked at Intune, which uses this modern application, this touch-friendly UI, to do the same type of thing. You could also build your own enterprise app store like that. So the next step would be to look at kind of the build your own alternative to this. But it's going to be a fair amount of work to put together something like that yourself. I mean, we have a couple of CodePlex projects out there where people are working to create these, where you can just configure them using XML files to say what application should be available and provide that basic type of functionality. But the typical solutions that we're going to recommend are going to be Configuration Manager or Intune. If you're using either one, you can link it into the other one and then have a single administrative experience through Configuration Manager to manage both the Configuration Manager on-premises clients as well as the cloud-managed Windows Intune clients from a single point. So the app failed to install. We could spend more time trying to troubleshoot that one. I believe it's probably going to be the same challenge where we don't have the certificate that's needed. We would need to add that certificate, and then Intune would be able to install the app. I just don't remember off the top of my head exactly how to troubleshoot that one, but we can try it real quick. Let me add the cert. oh, I bet I can't do this because I don't think my machine is actually on that same network because I wanted it to be internet connected. So we'll skip that one for now. The app did fail, but we could troubleshoot it. There is a log file that the Windows Intune agent writes where it would record the output of the PowerShell command so that we could see what the actual failure was and then be able to take care of that to get the app to install. But just in the interest of time, we will skip over that one for now. So in the case of Windows Intune, it has the Enterprise App Store functionality to enable Enterprise employee self-service. You can go to the company app portal, which is the Windows Store app that we were looking at, and you can use that to pull apps from the cloud. Your users can go out, request the apps they want, they'll install. There isn't any IT-driven push using just Windows Intune. In that situation, in order to do push, you need to have it integrated with Configuration Manager. You do need to set up directory synchronization between your Active Directory and Windows Intune so that Windows Intune knows about all your users, since you're going to be targeting these apps to users. That's a requirement to do that. That does require the latest release of Windows Intune. It came out in January. Most of you are probably already upgraded to that if you're already using Windows Intune. If not, you should be shortly. So the next item then, Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. The Microsoft Deployment Toolkit handles just one scenario. That is provisioning. So in the case of Intune, in the case of Configuration Manager, the built-in support is for installation, those per-user operations. In the case of MDT, it's all about provisioning. So if we were to look at MDT, we can create an application that will be used to provision that app into the OS as part of the deployment. So we would specify we want applications with source files. I'll do the same demo rounds application where I specify the source folder. For my application, it'll create a directory to put those files in. Now for the command line, though, MDT doesn't have the intelligence built into it to be able to figure out the name of the appx file. The name of the appx file is all we need to specify for the command line. When MDT sees a command line that ends with .appx as the command, it knows that it needs to use DISM to provision that application. So I'll cheat a little bit and do copy and paste of that file name. Oops. And paste it into the command line here. And that's really all we need. MDT will figure out from there that it needs to run DISM to provision that application. Another limitation that's present in MDT, though, is that it doesn't follow the dependencies. So you would need to manually set up the dependencies, link them to this main application so that the dependencies install before the main application so that it gets all the pieces in place on the machine. We just didn't have the knowledge of how this was going to be set up before MDT actually shipped to add that logic into it. So then as part of our task sequence, we could add a step into a standard Windows 8 client task sequence where we would just install that particular application. So we could go to the install application step, select our app, and it would then be provisioned as part of that OS install. So not too hard to do, fairly easy to set that up. Now, again, I mentioned before that there is a restriction on the number of apps that you can provision. You can do up to 24 of these. They're really best only done as part of a gold image creation, your master image creation. You could do it for subsequent applications after the OS has been deployed. That would then get picked up by the next user logon, but we generally don't recommend that. It's much better to use the user-driven approaches like you would get with Configuration Manager or Intune as an alternative. So provisioning as part of the image creation, installation for ongoing maintenance of the apps that are out there. So MDT does focus on image creation, provisioning apps in the image. There is a limit of 24. There are some blog entries on the Deployment Guys blog, as well as some TechNet documentation that talks about the corresponding tasks that you might want to do to customize the start screen. Customizing the start screen allows you to arrange the icons the way you want, allows you to put names to the groups, to do whatever layout you want, and persist that so that when that operating system is deployed, you will actually retain those settings for all new users. That provision or that customization process really is, once you go through it a couple of times, it starts to make a little bit more sense. You do the layout however you want it. And when you run SysPrep, SysPrep will actually write out a file called appsfolderlayout.bin. That appsfolderlayout.bin file is what contains the start screen layout. If that file is present in the user profile when a user logs in for the first time, Explorer will read it in and use it to populate the start screen. So that's the real trick. You run SysPrep to create that appsfolderlayout.bin file. You then make sure that file gets into the default user profile using whatever mechanism you choose to do that. And then when the user logs on for the first time, they get a new profile built off of that default user profile that reads the bin file and lays out the start screen appropriately. And like we talked about before, you can't install apps from the Windows Store before sysprepping. It will cause sysprep to fail. Now, if we wanted to look at other solutions, the one that we can talk about here is a web page that I think I have up here. If you go out to companystore.codeplex.com, this is a sample application that's been put together that is really just a fairly simple application that uses an XML configuration file. So you would need a mechanism to push out an XML configuration file to the machine and drop it into a particular folder on the machine. So I've already installed that particular app on my computer here. When I click on that application, we can see the same applications that were configured before, along with some links into the Windows Store, and also you have the ability to display some RSS feeds if you wanted to display news or other things to the end users. But it's set up so that if you had this configured correctly, you would click on the particular application, and it would run the install of the app. In this case, I didn't have connections to the install files on my computer here, so it just links into the documentation for how to set this up. But you could use this as kind of the simple way of trying to make applications available for installation on a computer. So you can check that one out if you want to see the mechanism that's being used to do that. So, like we talked about before, you can build your own application store. There are APIs for doing that in the WinRT APIs that are used for these modern apps. There are some interesting gotchas on using those, though, because you can't call those APIs from a modern UI app itself. You have to call them from a desktop application. So you may have to build a desktop application to install modern apps, but certainly doable. The companystore.codeplex.com sample uses a kind of a hybrid approach where you have a modern UI that displays the applications and then it launches a desktop application to actually do the install. So there are some tricks on doing that. That particular example was created by a Microsoft PFE in Europe to really just give you a good idea of what it would take to set up such a thing. We mentioned a few times that any software distribution tool really can do this by building the equivalent PowerShell or DISM commands that we had looked at, running as the user for installation or running as an administrator for provisioning. So, any questions before we start getting into FAQs? Maybe the FAQs will answer the questions, but we've been explaining this to customers now since Windows 8's been out, well, probably since the release preview days. And the types of questions that tend to come up are fairly consistent. One is, can I customize the start screen layout? Yes, you can. We've talked about that already. The next one is, can I get the AppX files for any of the Microsoft applications, like the OneNote, Link, Skype, or Inbox apps? Not at present. That's a problem that we recognize. We're still working on that, trying to come up with a solution, because the challenge with that is, let's assume that you're in a non-internet connected environment. And, well, like we did a couple of weeks ago, we had a security bulletin released for one of the Inbox apps. The mail app had a security vulnerability. So we fixed it and we released a new app. The only way to get the new app is to go out to the Windows Store and install it. If you're not internet connected, you can't install it. So you now have a vulnerable app on your system that you can't update because you can't get to the Windows Store. So we have lots of enterprises requesting these app install files so that we can take care of that. Same basic challenge with third parties. You can talk to any third party. They are allowed to give you the AppX files, but whether they have a process in place to do that remains to be seen. So let's say you wanted to include the Adobe Reader Touch application, which is a modern UI version of Adobe Reader, on all of your machines. You would have to contact Adobe and get them to provide the AppX file so that you could deploy them through your Enterprise App Store. They're working on providing those types of things, but you'll go through that same basic process with each ISV trying to get those app files. As far as preventing users from installing a particular application, there really isn't any good way to do that. Once the store is enabled, they can install anything they want. There's no way to restrict on category. So maybe you wanted to say, let them install productivity apps, but don't let them install anything entertainment or games. You could use AppLocker to restrict what they can launch, but AppLocker's restrictions, which are only present in Windows 8 Enterprise, are only going to allow you to do that by publisher or application name. If you look at the Windows Store, we've got about 100,000 apps out there. Those 100,000 apps probably are from close to 100,000 different publishers. There's no way you could possibly build up an appropriate whitelist or blacklist unless you're going to very tightly control the apps that can be installed to just a small handful. So AppLocker is not a good example, or not a good solution to that. Your only option may be to just turn off the store altogether if you have issues with some of the apps that are going to be installed. If you've ever tried to use Windows to Go, you may notice that the Windows Store is disabled on Windows to Go. There is a policy related to that. You can turn it back on if you want. But if you do that, make sure you read through the Windows to Go documentation that talks about how Windows to Go works with Windows Store licenses. Because as that USB stick roams from computer to computer, if you plug it into the first computer, no problem. Plug it into the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, no problem. As soon as it goes into the sixth machine, though, it tries to acquire a license for that sixth computer, and there's a limit of 5 computers for that app. So the app won't run on the sixth machine until you deauthorize it from one of the previous 5. That's rather inconvenient. So that's why the store is off by default on Windows to Go. Only turn it back on if you're reasonably certain that the USB stick's only going to be used on a small number of machines. The sideload product keys, the common question we get there is, well, where do you get this product key? I have software assurance. How could I get this key? It's the same basic process you would use to get a Mac key or to get your KMS key. It's on the Volume License Service Center. If you go out and search for enterprise sideloading, you'll be able to see the key. As soon as you click on the key link there, it'll show you the 25-character key, which you could then install on machines using slmgr.vbs. We've also heard lots of questions about the mail app. We've continued to enhance the mail app over time. But one of the remaining limitations that customers ask about is, well, how do I use the mail app without first logging in with a Microsoft account? I just want to use it with my Exchange account. How do I do that? It isn't possible today. Using the mail app today, first you need to log in with the Microsoft account. After that, you can then put in your Exchange account. It's an application limitation that we're hoping to rectify in the future. Can I programmatically install apps from the Windows Store? No. You always have to launch the Windows Store, navigate to the particular app, and click the install button to accept the license terms. No way around that today. If you're using an authenticating proxy server with Windows 8, you can run into some challenges with Windows 8 as well. There are a couple of KB articles that describe how to work around those issues. Basically, you need to whitelist some URLs to allow them through the proxy server without authentication. That's a known issue in Windows 8. That's something that we're working on to fix in the future. And I think I am right at time, and that's good because we're at the end of the deck anyway. So please fill out your evaluations related to the session. Hopefully this was useful. If you have any questions remaining about these, come up front and we can take those questions offline. Hopefully that was a useful overview. Please provide me your feedback. Otherwise, type in the comments on the feedback form, and thanks for coming.